have the what in your head?
Time Warp.
What's Time Warp?
Have you never seen Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No.
No.
Neither one of you have.
I've never seen it. I've heard.
I got it's about
the song in there.
5 minutes into it, till I was like, and there's too much singing for me.
It is definitely different. It is a different kind
I know,
of an odd
like,
movie.
The spiel mm-hmm. of it, like I've seen clips of it, Dr. Frankenfurter, mm-hmm. and then there's a man in tight gold shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Long. That, there's too much singing for me. I couldn't do it.
You might enjoy it, Shane.
Wow.
I saw it's going to be in Wabash again. I mean, I feel like every Halloween, it's everywhere. It's, for some reason, it's a Halloween movie.
Is it? Yeah. Well, it's because, so originally when it came out in the 70s, it was a huge flop. It did not do well at the box office at all.
Who's the actress? Susan Sarandon?
I think so.
Redheaded, big eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was a flop when it was originally in theaters. And then later on in the 80s, it became a cult classic. Mm. And it ran in theaters for years and years and years consecutively because
funny.
People would go and watch it and they would dress up. And there was different like there's a scene in the very beginning of it where there's a wedding. And so people would take rice and throw rice in different spots. They would do different things. The audience would do different things. So it lasted forever. I never went to the theater to see it, but I never seen it until, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago.
I know a lot of gay guys that play the Dr. Frankenfurter mm-hmm. part, the slutty mm-hmm. fishnets and bustier.
Mm-hmm. I seen that movie is 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
It came out September 26th. And so it's 50 years old now. And I seen an interview that they had done with Tim Curry, which is the guy that played Dr. Frankenfurter.
He was it too.
Yeah. And he's very, I'm not sure if he's still alive or not.
He is. I just saw the other day on his Instagram. He personally doesn't do his Instagram. He has people for it, but mm-hmm. he had to like have a message because there's been, you know, like most celebrities, there's fake accounts that mm-hmm. are asking people for money.
Right.
And blah, blah, blah. And he had to go on and give a message that this is my only account. I would not ask people for money. Yeah, I know Tim Curry more from Fern Gully. He was Smaug, the villain in that.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You've never seen Fern Gully? Oh.
I have, but it's been a really long time ago.
Oh, it was very implemental in my beliefs growing up. It kind of started my like, nature's alive and aware.
A Bug's Life didn't do that? And ants?
Fern Gully was before that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. What else has he been in?
Oh, he was in a movie, a fantasy movie with Tom Cruise in the 80s. I cannot remember what it's called, but Tim played like, it looked like the devil. Like, essentially the devil, but he wasn't the devil. He was like just a demon monster. But he used red, big horns, hooves on his feet. New Kink Unlocked. I remember watching that at grandma's when I was younger and like holding on to the remote like it was like pornography because it had, oh, there's the devil's in it. If I find out they're watching, you know, if they see me watching mm-hmm. this, I'm going to get whooped. So it like any noise, change channel.
Right. He's into that demonic stuff.
Right. Oh, God, there's the devil. I'm watching something forbidden. We ain't even had Pokemon cards because it's the devil.
Right.
Here we go. Wikipedia. I was just curious what else that he was in.
My toxic love.
I picked up this really nice coaster.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in Garden of the Gods.
Very pretty.
Yeah, I thought so.
Ouch.
Very shiny.
What is it?
A coaster.
She knows she can't do two things
at once.
Well, she can barely do one thing at once.
All right, let's see.
Have you just now turned your phone on? What's taking so long?
Listen. I don't. Starring Tim Curry.
Oh my gosh.
Hush. It was in a Garfield movie.
Oh, that's fun.
Scary Movie 2.
Didn't realize how many. He was in an episode of Scooby-Doo in 2008. The Goblin King.
Mm-hmm.
Home Alone.
Wow, no,
been on a lot of stuff.
A lot of, like, kid stuff.
He was in Titanic? What did he play in Titanic? Okay, he played Simon. Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew? I had no idea he was in that.
Oh, he was in the 1982 Annie. Little Orphan Annie, I remember from that one. He was one of the bad guys.
I barely remember the movie.
I just do because is it Carol Burnett's role in that one just stuck with me.
Oh, yeah.
Little girls.
Oh, yeah.
Little
she was really good at that.
Girls. And the guy who played Annie's new dad was attractive. I remember thinking that as a young boy.
Daddy Warbucks.
You can be my Daddy Warbucks.
So, Kim, why don't you go ahead and enlighten Josh about your internet troubles?
All right. So,
and you know Josh has started on our drive back from Colorado.
Well, we covered this on our last episode.
Right.
They came and put new telephone poles in. They cut through your line. They said it would be around a week until you got it reconnected.
Yeah. It was over 2 weeks before they finally come and done it. And it wasn't the telephone company that done it. It was Spectrum that done it because Spectrum was pulling fiber lines. And they're the ones that shot the anchor in the ground.
It sounds like they did it on purpose to get new customers.
So I was...
But during that time that Kim was in the car and we're driving back, she's messaging Frontier, her internet company. And you know how just sometimes older people get scammed?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's what happened to Kim, where she didn't know what she was agreeing
to. I didn't know what I was doing.
But you know how small her little house is. It's teeny tiny.
Were they like upselling her?
Yeah. So they sent her, she agreed to pay $10 extra a month. And they sent her two of those like
for what?
Wireless routers that you can put throughout your home.
They gave me the first month free.
But still, Kim, you don't need
that's
it.
Still not
no,
a deal.
I don't really need it. But
no, at all.
I was just, number one, I was tired. We were driving back from Colorado. I did not want to deal with this while I was sitting in the car. And because I was the one that originally reported that it was an outage. So the ticket that was done for it was done in my name. Well, then we found out that they were going to have to dig it up and redo the thing, right? So I got a text message on Thursday saying, hey, your internet's back on. And I'm like, yay. So I pack all my stuff
up. She's been going to Emily's.
Yeah, I've been going to Emily's. So I packed all my stuff up and went home so that I could work. And I still had no internet.
Now, the issue also, Josh, is because she agreed for these two new units. So she wasn't sure if she didn't have internet because she needed to activate
the
other stuff. But the best part is Kim gets home, right? Now, because Kim hasn't had internet, she's been using her phone. We went on a trip, so she used some data there too.
Right. Yep. So
but
I'm
she
out
was
of data.
Out of data, could not use internet on her phone.
Oh, Jesus.
And of course, the instructions are like, scan this QR code and it will download the app.
I can't.
And she couldn't get on the app at all.
That's what that great big long message was that I sent you and that you read.
I only read the first sentence.
Yeah.
So anyway, and the first sentence was like, I'm so mad because I can't get on the internet. So I was like, oh, so she can't do that. But anyway, so she couldn't get this new thing set up because she doesn't have internet. And so she was going to have her daughter come over a couple days. I don't know. I lost track of what she was saying. So the next morning I wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm getting ready and I sent her a text. And I was like, wake your ass up because I'm coming over because I already know I'm going to have to come over and fix your internet. Because just like our grandma used to have me come over and fix her pooter all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I
thought, broke the Facebook.
And I thought when she died, I was no longer an IT person. And evidently grandma came over here. So I get to her house and Kim has the old router on a desk. She has the two new units and all these power cords and these lines. And I was like, Kim, you should not have agreed to upgrade anything until you get your shit fixed. Because now we're in this pickle.
Now you got more to do.
And Kim lives in the most worst spot in the world because the only service you can ever get is from Verizon. And then you steal your internet so dang slow. You can't do anything. So it was such a headache. And then I'm communicating with Frontier, and it was a whole mess. I was there all day. At some point in time, the internet service was sucking so much from Verizon on my phone that this chat was not working, and so I had a call.
I would have left. And
I know. Well, Cam, you have no internet ever. Bye. So I ended up calling them, and I told them Cam was my mother, which my first reaction was I should have said she's my grandmother, but then I didn't want Cam to be like, you know.
So he tells her, she's my mom, you know, and so they asked for what my phone number was, and he says, Kim, what's your phone number? And I'm like, wait a minute, I thought you were your very mom. Close.
No, I don't like her. She smells weird. Yeah, Kim got up to me, and I was like, oh, oops.
I was Mama laughing Kim. So hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laughing so hard.
But then the lady, I start arguing with her because because clearly Kim has not had internet for more than 2 weeks because of that thing. And the lady's like, okay, well, I'll create a new ticket because it sounds like this is an isolated issue that's not related to that. And I was like, I kindly would beg to differ. I disagree strongly. Mm-hmm. Because she's not had internet since the dang thing happened. So clearly it's the same problem.
Right.
And the lady's like, well, we don't know for sure. And I'm like,
find out.
Yeah, we do. We know for sure. Mm. So I was just arguing back and forth with her. And then at some point in time, I was like, also, she's not had internet for almost 3 weeks now. I don't think she should pay the full bill.
No.
So she's like, oh, yeah, well, we'll credit her. That's not a problem. Okay. And then I was like, can we escalate this? Because we need this person to come out here tomorrow because she's going to lose her job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they did have someone come out the next morning. And what they found was that
because the original ticket was in my name, when they went to go check out to see what was wrong, they unplugged my connections to see which way the outage was. And they didn't plug the connections back in.
So they messed up and were incompetent. And you had to suffer for it.
Right. So everybody else had internet a day before I did because actually it was 2 days before I did. Ay,
mio idiotas.
Because they didn't plug my connection
Spanish
back in.
I know. My brain hurts.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting there arguing with Frontier about it. I'm like, look, I know what I'm doing. She's not getting internet to her house because the dang router's not lighting up.
I'm smarter than your text.
Right. I'm still going to have to go to Emily's when I do videos because my internet can't handle the videos. But I can do all of the audio at
But
at
boy, home. Once
But yeah, it's slow.
Spectrum gets that fiber loaned to your house, you're going to be in cloud nine. You're going to be streaming that porn so fast.
Bye, Frontier. She ain't going to leave the house for a week. She's going to come out. Oh.
Well, and also, so Josh, you're pretty smart. You probably know the difference between a phone line and an Ethernet line.
Of course. Right?
Yeah. So I get to her house and I'm like checking through all the cords because I'm like, internet's not getting to her modem.
That's the nicest thing he's ever said about my intelligence. You're pretty smart.
So I go back over to the line where it's coming into the house, and I'm like, why does she have this adapter? She has this real old adapter, and it's because when Frontier installed her internet, they just ran it through her phone line. So they didn't even change that out. So the phone line is coming
into the house.
They
probably charged her to change it, I'm sure.
So it comes into the house, and then there's an adapter that plugs into the phone line that then transfers it into an Ethernet line. And
is this
so
the 90s?
I know. And I was like, well, Kim, no wonder your internet sucks butthole. It's because they're running this internet through a phone line.
Right.
So stupid. And
that's
Kim's like
dial-up speed.
And you know how like sometimes people take advantage of older people? What happened. Because I was asking Kim about it. And she's like, well, when they came out here to install it, they told me that I'd have to pay to have them redo it. And I was like, it doesn't work that way. No. Like, if they need to run a new line for you to have their service, then they'll pay for it.
Yeah, I've never had to pay.
No, they'll get up in your attic.
If they, if I had to, I'd be like, I'm going to find a different company because you guys are scammers.
Oh, yeah. There's no other
There's
company.
Nothing else out there. Oh,
yeah. She could get the satellite thing, internet, but it would be worse.
They probably know that, and they're like, well, yeah, you're going to. Yeah.
But that's why I'm waiting for Spectrum.
That's what network. Comcast was where we grew up for the longest time. It was all you could get. Around Ball State, you could not get anything else. They had monopolized that market, and boy, did they take advantage of it. Oh my God.
I hate it. I would never have that.
You paid out the wazoo for the basic.
It went down all the time.
And this is like 2008, 2009. Yep. So, you know, it's not like we had anywhere near fiber quality, but we were just paying for the basic.
Line. Yeah, there's.
I don't have much problem with it going down a lot. Usually, if it does go down, it only lasts you know, either a few hours, maybe a day, at the most two. But this is the second time since I've had it, which, do you remember how long ago it's been that I got it?
It's been a while.
It's been a really long time, but this is the second time that I've been without for a couple weeks. And the first time, the reason
you've been without for longer than that, Kim.
I know, right?
Right.
The first time I was out 3 weeks, and it was because there was a train derailment behind Monroe Central School, and it cut the line. So it took them a long time to get that fixed.
Can't we just run temp lines?
Right.
No kidding.
Like,
get an extension cord.
Like, why are people out of internet for weeks?
Right. It's almost 2026. Like, you can't.
Run a, yeah, let's run a temporary line above the thing.
Internet's no longer like
yeah,
a privilege. It's a necessity.
Right. It is. I didn't have anything to watch movies on because I would stream everything. So I couldn't watch anything. And I had to go buy a new DVD player just so I could watch the old movies that I've seen 100 times. So I'd have something to watch.
This is why I buy send her photos. Physical books. Because right. Just in case. Because, you know, I do audio books, but for situations like this, a good physical book's
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so I finally went and bought a DVD player, and Emily loaned me her series of Bones. So I've been watching Bones.
Blonde guy, curly hair.
Cute, he wasn't blonde, was he?
Cute blonde guy. You watched it.
The Jeffersonian. They were from the Jeffersonian. He was a cop. No, he's a dark-haired guy. He was a cop, FBI agent, and she was a...
Oh, I think he played Angel on the show we used to watch before
Angel. Yeah.
David Boreanaz.
I don't know what he's
called. I'm not sure what the actor's name is, but probably.
But anyway, I love the show. I always loved Bones. And now I've realized because of Crime Camp, there's a lot of bugs and, you know, larvae and maggots and stuff.
You're like, I know how that works.
And I'm like, I know this. So that makes it even more interesting, even though I've seen most of them, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, are you guys ready for my mystery today?
Sure.
All right. We must.
Okay. So here we go.
I have to reset up.
Yeah. You do what you need to do, Kim.
Okay.
It all started with a stain. It wasn't blood, not oil. It was just a smudge. But it was on a concrete floor in a quiet village tucked into the hills of southern Spain. The kind of thing you wouldn't even notice unless you were cleaning. And that's exactly what Maria Gomez was doing on August 23rd, 1971. She was sweeping up her modest kitchen in the sleepy little town. Oh, God. I need to just pick cities in Indiana. Belmez de la Moralde.
In a sleepy village in this country.
Named Timothy.
Timothy.
Yeah. And that's when she noticed it. A dark patch. It was right by the hearth. It looked like nothing until it didn't.
Oh boy.
Because it wasn't just a smudge. It had eyes. And those eyes were staring back. Today, we're going to step into a kitchen that became the site of one of the world's strangest hauntings, a place where the dead may have drawn their own portraits.
Ooh.
This is the story of the Belmez faces, a mystery that appeared without warning, refused to be buried, and it still haunts the floorboards of folklore. Belmez de la Moralde. I probably just pronounced that completely differently from the first thing I pronounced. It's the kind of town where nothing ever happens. Olive trees roll across the hills, the church bells toll like they always have, and everyone knows everyone else's business. It's peaceful, it's quiet. It's a village that for centuries drifted along like a sunset memory. And then came the house on Cal Real Street.
That's tiny font.
Right. But this has my unmasked information on it, too. There are white walls. There are concrete floors. There's a wood-burning hearth. Home to Maria Gomez and her husband, whose name was Juan. Pereira is probably the last part. But Maria was known in the village as kind, quiet, and devout. The type who went to mass every Sunday, kept her home tidy, and didn't make a fuss.
Just like me.
Yes.
Every Sunday.
On Grindr, every Sunday.
Praise him.
Yeah. Her neighbors would later say she was almost shy. She spent her mornings baking bread, her afternoons tending to the plants. This is you, Josh. Nothing about her suggested trickery or a taste for fame. If anything, Maria wanted a quiet life. She certainly wasn't looking to host a paranormal circus, but her floor had other plans.
Dun, dun, dun.
That first stain appeared near the stove. Over the course of a few days, the smudge darkened, taking on the vague shape of a face. Then the face grew clearer. It had sunken eyes, a long jaw, and a solemn expression. Juan thought it was a water stain. He scrubbed it. It didn't budge. He poured new concrete over the spot. Thought the problem was solved. Until another face appeared. And then another. Soon the kitchen floor looked like a graveyard of expressions. Sun,
a rug.
Right? Some mournful, some angry. Some were almost pleading. They'd fade and they'd reappear. They seemed to shift positions. Sometimes they smiled. Other times they looked terrified. Locals started visiting, and then journalists, scientists, parapsychologists, tourists from across Europe. Can you imagine coming
into my house?
Right, in your kitchen.
Not gonna lie, my first thought was I'd try to sit on one. Just try it out. See what happens.
Let's see what happens.
See what happens.
And that's when their face turned real scared. And they started crying.
Then the faces never came back.
Right, they left. They went to the neighbors. So the town had become home to a mystery that defied science and scrub brushes. And Maria, she kept sweeping. Over the next few months, the floor transformed into what people started calling La Pare de la Caras. And if you can speak Spanish, I'm so sorry. I probably butchered that.
La Pare de la Caras.
But in Spanish, it was the wall of faces.
Oh.
Except
but it was on the floor.
It wasn't a wall. It was the kitchen floor, and it was not stopping.
Is there not a Spanish word for floor?
I'm sure there is, but they probably just like the wall.
It sounded better.
It did. You probably come see a wall other than, let's go look at the floor.
I got one of them at home. We got floor at home.
We don't have a wall. But the faces varied. Some were lifelike. They had eyes, noses, mouths, etched in mottled concrete. Others were skeletal and hollow with cheeks, and they would have these staring pockets like it was a skeleton. One looked like a bearded man, mid-scream. Others resembled a child with wide, unblinking eyes. Visitors gave them nicknames. The woman with hollow eyes. They weren't creative.
It probably sounds better in Spanish.
Right. The smiling boy. Maria said they changed, sometimes overnight. One morning, she swore the hollow-eyed woman had opened her mouth wider. The smiling boy seemed to frown by the end of the week. Neighbors corroborated the story. And so did visiting priests, even government officials. The frenzy grew. Newspapers splashed headlines across Spain. The faces of Belmez shocked the nation. People lined up outside the house. Can you imagine?
Ugh. I'd move.
I know. But trying to sell it would be probably difficult.
I'd just get carpeting.
Right. Some prayed. Some demanded it to be shut down. One local priest even called it a troubling sign of restless spirits, while skeptics called it a mass hysteria. The mayor was so disturbed by the phenomenon that he ordered an excavation. Scientists and construction workers lifted sections of the floor for testing.
Jesus. Making a mess of this house.
I know. And what they found underneath made everyone's skin crawl. Buried beneath Maria's kitchen were human remains, bones mostly, some dating back centuries. Several were missing skulls. Historians later confirmed the area may have once been a medieval cemetery or a mass burial site, possibly from plague victims or executed prisoners. No one knew who the bones belonged to, but the faces upstairs, they were starting to look familiar. As word spread, the town became a magnet for every kind of investigator. One of the first was Germán de Argumoso, a Spanish parapsychologist who believed the faces were genuine manifestations of psychic energy. He called it one of the most important paranormal cases of the 20th century. And he wasn't alone. The German researcher Hans Binder. I'm a child. Hans Binder over. No, I'm sorry. Hans Binder became involved. He would offer theories like, could these people have been projected images onto physical surfaces? He almost thought that they were spiritual photographs. That's like the way that he would describe them. He also believed Maria was some kind of medium, that her emotional state, possibly triggered by living over a burial ground, was imprinting images into the concrete. But skeptics did push back really hard. A man named Joel Nickel, a well-known American investigator, dismissed the whole thing as a fraud. Spanish researchers Cesar Tort and Luis Ruiz Nogmejo, very, very particular person, Luis, they had argued the faces were chemically created, perhaps with acids or with pigments that seeped into the porous concrete. Its paint, one skeptic had declared, was paint, clever illusions, and people seeing what they wanted to see. In 1990, Spain's Ceramic and Glass Institute took samples from the floor. Their conclusion, no trace of paint or dye in the top layers. But deeper down, there were metals like chromium and lead, which were common in pigments. Then in 2014, a forensic team conducted a full retest on national television. They used solvents, acids, and even silver nitrate to replicate the effect. They failed. They couldn't do it. Their conclusion, we found no evidence of manipulation. The faces were not painted. They were not photos. They just were. And that's when the mystery deepened. Maria never profited from the faces. She didn't charge admission. She didn't write a book. She didn't go on tour. She just lived with them. For more than 30 years, Maria swept her kitchen with faces watching her every move. She never claimed to understand it. In fact, when asked by reporters, she once said, I don't know where they come from. I only know they won't leave. Her neighbors described her as weary, but resigned. Some whispered she was cursed. Others swore she had been chosen. Maria herself said little, keeping her devotion to God and her broom in hand. After she died in 2004, something changed. The faces stopped appearing. A man named Pedro Amoros, a self-described psychic, claimed to find new faces in another house owned by the family. But the media quickly debunked them as fake. A major Spanish newspaper accused the new investigators of staging the phenomenon to draw tourists. The new faces were too clean, they were too sharp, too obvious. Whatever was happening to Maria's house, it wasn't happening anymore. Because maybe Maria wasn't faking it. Maybe she was the mystery. The house on Cal Real 5 still stands. You can visit, though it is mostly quiet now. The floor has been patched. The original faces are almost mostly gone, or faded into ghostly outlines. Tour groups sometimes stop by, though the house doesn't look like much. Cracked white walls, a sagging roof, a kitchen that smells faintly of damp stone. Locals will still tell you where to look, pointing at face shadows in the floor, as if to say, there, do you see it? Some who go say they still feel watched. Others say the air feels heavier in the kitchen. A few even claim that the faces are still there, just waiting for someone new to see them. So what were they? Was it a hoax, a haunting, a subconscious phenomenon, a trick of the eyes, or maybe something deeper? What if the land remembers? What if energy, grief, and memory, even trauma, can sink into the stone, and when the right person comes along, it rises? The stain on Maria's floor, maybe it wasn't a face, maybe it was a message. What do you guys think? What's your opinion?
Well, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, and everything has a vibration to it, from even cement flooring. Mm-hmm. So, you know, based on those principles, the energy from the deceased buried underneath could vibrationally imprint upon the cement above it, especially if maybe she was not necessarily like a medium, but, you know, maybe she had like a psychic gift that kind of just enhanced those energies and vibrations and kind of brought them towards her.
Yeah.
Because especially since she died and they kind of faded away, it makes me think that she was the one causing them,
not doing it physically.
But just because she wasn't going after money, she wasn't going after fame, she just continued to live her normal life and, you know, follow her. She didn't change as a person because of it. Makes me think that it was a real event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it could just be, you know, floors are weird sometimes. Maybe there was just a stain, like, you know.
I think it's very curious.
I'll have to look at them.
Well, Google them real quick. So you spell it by BELMEZ and then faces. Belmez. BELMEZ faces. At first, when I was going through all the research, I was like, well, you know, I know that the human brain has a habit of trying to make
that looks like Nosferatu.
But some of them are creepy. I would not want to be living in a house to have some of those.
Oh yeah,
like
no, that floor I'd get carpeting.
Yeah.
I know. It's a little scurry, especially that group of them right there.
Yeah.
Ooh, the little boy.
Yeah, I just don't see them as like.
No, I see the bearded man. He looks like an ancient like philosopher monk guy, like who was John Dee, Queen Elizabeth I's mystic, essentially, kind of resembles him.
But I thought it was really interesting because they found the bodies in the basement, like under the floor. And I thought that was really interesting because a lot of them didn't have heads. So I was like, that's very odd.
That's weird.
That you have bodies under the home that don't have heads and you have faces appearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that energy is
the ladies is the creepiest
one. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't sit on none of these faces.
No, probably not.
Although that. If there was an attractive man one coming through, I'd sit on his face. The next morning, I'd wake up, they'd be all in the ceiling.
Right.
No, try again.
That's interesting. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Maybe she was sweeping the dirt every day into a specific pattern, and that's why they stopped afterwards, because she stopped sweeping the floor.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I kind of think that if it wasn't for her faith, she probably wouldn't have told anyone. Because I think that she probably went to her church or whatever and told them, and they weren't see it. And probably.
Because I feel like Catholic Christians are more open to the spiritual side. Yeah. Whereas
if
she were Baptist, that floor would have been tore up and out of there.
Yeah, for sure. So for today's Shit Far segment, we're going to travel to Indiana.
Oh, how fun. Yeah. We're here already.
We are going to Lake County, which isn't too far from here, a little further north. But we're traveling to May 20th, 2023. We're in the community of Lakes of the Four Seasons in Indiana.
I've been there.
We find Brian Niedert, a 47-year-old father and a local man. He was sorting through his grandfather's belongings with his kids, a 14-year-old son, and an 18-year-old daughter. In the garage of the family home, when things took a horrifying turn. Lakes of the Four Seasons is a gated lakeside neighborhood about 30 minutes southeast of Chicago, known for its quiet streets, private lakes, and suburban tranquility. It doesn't often make headlines. Its charm lies in its calm, leafy roads, weekend fishing, and the sense of community. But that evening, the calm shattered. They'd spent the afternoon sorting tools, old uniforms, and dusty keepsakes from his grandfather's military service. That's when it happened. The family discovered a hand grenade tucked among the older items. Shit far. Someone reportedly pulled the pin, and it detonated instantly. Brian was killed at the scene. His two teenage children were gravely injured by shrapnel. They were rushed to the hospital fighting for their lives. Well, shit far and saved the matches. Investigators later said they weren't sure whether the grenade self-detonated from age or if someone intentionally triggered it. Either way, what started as an ordinary family cleanup ended in tragedy, turning nostalgic memories into a nightmare. But can you imagine?
That's insane.
And this is the second shit far story of someone passing away and their descendants are searching through their stuff and they find a grenade, a live grenade.
I wouldn't touch it.
No.
I thought that was common knowledge. I'm guessing, even old bullets, I wouldn't.
I mean, I'm just guessing that these, you would maybe think it's a toy or something, you know?
I don't know.
But not with old men. They didn't have toys. Right. They probably got that from the war.
People, if you see something that looks like a grenade, don't touch it.
Yeah,
I know.
PSA, the more you know.
Call the cops.
Yeah.
Have the bomb spot.
Don't move it. Don't let it move. Bump into it.
Yeah. But I mean, what they don't know is did he see it and think, oh, what's this? And then pull the pin? Because, I mean, I'm assuming, I've never pulled a pin of a grenade, but I'm assuming it's not it fell out. You know, I'm assuming you got to pull it.
Well, the old ones, sometimes you don't even have to pull it because the stuff that separates everything kind of, disintegrates or weakens with time. So, I mean, even just moving it, old things can set them off. Just
pulled it up and picked it up.
I did learn recently that they have trained rats to go in old minefields, because even though those mines were buried decades past, they're still active, but no one knows where they are. So there's, large plots of land where these wars have been fought, where people can't even walk through because you can't even have, livestock go through because they'll blow up. But they've trained rats to be able to detect them by smell. And the rats don't weigh enough to activate the mine. So they'll go out, they'll locate it, and then the men can safely dig up the mines. And they've actually been able to clear quite a lot of land from old landmines.
Wow. Interesting.
Because, it's a big problem because, little kids don't know what that is. So they're, look, a field that's wide and open to run through, and then they're dead.
With as old as that is, he may have just had his finger on the pin.
Yeah.
And then it went off, so it looked like that he actually pulled it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of stories where people find old, warheads and stuff buried in the ground, and they're sitting there digging it up and then, this is a Vietnam warhead. And then they call a museum and they're like, get away from it. Don't touch it. We'll be there shortly. Get away.
Yeah,
it
will explode. Yeah.
It makes you wonder what people are thinking when they find things like that.
I mean, I'm assuming that you just don't expect to find it.
Well, I wouldn't, but I sure as hell wouldn't try to dig it up either once I realized what it was.
Mm-mm.
No, I wouldn't. It's so bizarre.
People be crazy.
I guess so.
Well, guys, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to come join us on Patreon for our Unmasked episodes, which we will start right after this. We have a really fun community, and we have lots of bonus episodes.
I have to go potty first.
We're a hoot and a half. Yeah,
we are. We like ourselves. We laugh at ourselves. Come join us. Come laugh with us.
I'll probably be posting my birthday cake video.
Your birthday's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
How old will you be, Josh?
35.
Oh.
Today is Cody and Andrew's wedding.
Oh, happy wedding.
Happy wedding day, guys.
Yes.
I meant to send them a message this morning telling them happy wedding day, and I forgot.
I did too. Well, it's still early.
And I have.
It is.
They're in Wisconsin. One of our uncles is behind.
Having a reception. Not the one that was dating his distant cousin. That's a different uncle.
Yeah.
Same side of the family, though.
Same trash, different bag.
Every trash can has its lid. All right, guys. Well, if my mystery today has taught you anything, it should be that sometimes what we bury doesn't stay buried. Some mysteries don't always need monsters or murder to chill your bones. Sometimes it's a quiet kitchen in a quiet village. A woman with a broom and a stain that stares back. Isn't that always like the worst thing? Like when you have a stain and you just can't get carpet. Until next time, stay curious, stay spooky, and if your floor ever tries to make eye contact,
sit on it.
Maybe just don't mop that part. All right, we'll catch you on Unmasked in a moment, and we'll see the rest of you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.